Hello and welcome to Back Chat, your podcast all about scoliosis, yoga and back care. My name is Christine Jaregi-Berry. I'm a yoga teacher, creator of the Yoga Berry Yoga for Scoliosis community and YouTube channel, and this show is all about supporting you on your scoliosis journey. So if you're looking for practical advice and inspiration on how to manage the condition with yoga and movement, then you're in the right place.
Have you ever lifted or carried something like a bag or a child, and then you felt that sudden pull in your back? And that's what we're going to talk about today, because carrying and lifting things when you have scoliosis matters if you do it the right way, because we want to avoid, obviously, that pain, and we want to avoid things getting worse with scoliosis. So if you are here live, thank you so much for tuning in. Feel free to comment in the chat if you've got any questions. I've got some talking points that I'm going to go through, and then I will make sure to answer all your questions as well. But if you can tell me in the meantime that you can hear me okay, that everything is working well, then I would very much appreciate this, because this is live. And things usually work out well, but sometimes they don't. Okay, Laura is here. Hi, Laura from Buenos Aires. Good. So I'm assuming that this is working okay. I can see a lot of you tuning in. So welcome to Back Chat. Welcome to Move with Scoliosis. If this is your first time here, let me know. Amazing to have you here. And I've been doing this for quite a while, actually. In fact, I've watched some videos back today because I was helping a one-to-one client. Actually, she's a Shine member and was doing some one-to-one sessions with me. And we were looking for some specific videos. And literally, if there is anything to cover, I've probably covered it on this channel at some point. But I had to go back like 7 years back into the archive to look for this video, and I did find it, which is amazing. It's quite amazing just to kind of look back at this whole journey and all the interest as well, and all your comments and that community that we've built from here as well. Because when I started this, I had no idea that people would actually care or benefit from what I've got to say. But obviously, a lot of you have been telling me that you enjoy my videos, so that's great. Okay, so we've got another Christine here, we've got Cynthia here. Great, let's get started then. I'm assuming that this is a topic of interest, and why does it matter? Obviously, we talk a lot about yoga and Pilates on this channel, and exercising is important, but what you do the rest of the day probably matters even more. Or just as much, because you might be spending an hour if everything goes well on your yoga mat, but what are you doing for the rest of the time? And lifting and carrying is a very, very important one. It's something where things can just go wrong a little bit. And this is not just with scoliosis, but especially with scoliosis, because of our specific pattern. And those of you who have been listening to me for a while, you know this. We have this specific scoliosis pattern that might be an S curve, C curve. Even in those categories, you've got lots and lots of variations. And it's your individual pattern which gets exaggerated with age, with gravity, but also when you start to load. And loading means simply adding some extra weight on. So whatever that might mean picking up a box from the floor, picking up a heavy box, picking something up from the floor, carrying your shopping bags, carrying your handbag, of course. It might be going shopping in general. And okay, this is not lifting or carrying, but pushing your trolley, and I've got some tips for you on that. Don't let me forget about this. It all matters. Good. Pam is saying everything sounds good. Good. That's great. So we need to talk about this, and we need to kind of think about where are our kind of trigger points. And a lot of you are already really, really aware, and you know, and you're like, well, actually, every time I do the gardening and pick up a lot of things from the floor, my back hurts afterwards. And this is no surprise, because as I've been saying, we have our specific scoliosis pattern. It's a sideward curvature, or two sideward curvatures with a rotation. Now, when you're bending forwards, especially, let's talk about that picking up motion, you are probably going to round your spine, unless you're doing it obviously very mindfully. You are going to rotate further into your scoliosis pattern. So anything flexion, we call this flexion, that rounding of the spine. You're also going to rotate, and that starts to compress the spine. Now, if you do this once in a while, it's not a big problem, especially if you are strong, if you're doing lots of exercise, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you already have a weakness in this department, meaning your spine, if you've got some disc issues, if you have got osteoporosis, if you start to have degeneration, that's when you really have to be really, really mindful, because flexion and twisting is going to cause that compression, and the compression can create pain. So I'm hoping this makes sense. This is kind of what we want to avoid. And a lot of these movements, why this is so important to think about, is because we're not doing them consciously. When we're on our mat, everything is fine, because we can think about, oh, can I elongate? Can I lengthen my spine? But as soon as you're kind of in your day-to-day business, most likely, a lot of times, we're not paying attention to how we do those things. So really, really important. And in the membership, obviously, and anywhere on YouTube and on my channel, you will hear me talk about bending from the hips, not from your spine. So this is kind of the number one rule, really, that you want to start to think about. And this means using your legs a little bit more. So it is really as simple as this. It's also obviously thinking about what exactly you're picking up, how often you pick something up, so how much of a habit is this, and then also, are you picking something up from the floor slightly sideways? That is probably the worst movement, and that's probably the thing where things go most wrong. So that's really something, and I will show you in a moment what this looks like, what we're going to pay attention to. So this is about loading. As I said, we've got our sideward curvature. If you have something heavy and you're kind of just kind of picking it up with one arm, maybe from the floor, again, not a problem if this is something small that is not very heavy. But if it's something a little bit heavier, you're adding load into something that is already asymmetric. So you might be kind of being pulled over to one side a little bit more, or quite a lot more, depending on how heavy it is. So it's really, really important that you think about, and this might be especially obviously if you've got the time to think about before you pick something heavy up, can I do this as symmetrical as possible, first of all, meaning using both hands rather than just one hand? Can I hold this item close to me? Because that's when you have that weight a little bit further in towards your center of gravity as well. And while I'm doing this motion, can I use my legs instead of bending from my spine? So let me know if this makes sense about picking things up and what you want to do instead. Hi, Lauren is here from New Jersey. Good. So lots of you interested in this topic because we all do it, right? It's something that we have to do all the time. Good. So another thing to think about is possibly, do you have a habit of picking things up always the same way? Yeah, and I might just kind of get up for this. Let me move my chair out of the way here, and we'll do a little demonstration. Okay, didn't work that well, but it's okay. So what I sometimes see is, first of all, this would be an asymmetry, right? If we're hanging out like this, and then we're kind of thinking about, can I pick something up? I possibly bring my hand onto my knee, and then I reach my hand down to pick something up. I'm going to turn to the side. So you can see what's going wrong there. I am bending, I'm flexing my spine, and I'm twisting. If this is now something heavy that I'm picking up, that is going to be a recipe for disaster. If you've got those issues, especially in the lumbar spine. So what can you do? First of all, you need to think about, and we do this a lot in our Pilates classes, the hip hinge. So soften your knees, bending forwards from the hips. This is why we do chair pose over and over again, because it's such an important movement. So can I use my legs? Can I do this symmetrically? Again, can you see what type of movement am I doing here? And again, those of you who are doing exercise, you will know this is a squat, right? So really, really important to do. So if this is not available to you to bend forwards like this, for whatever reason, it might be your knees, can you do it through a lunge? Is this more comfortable? You kind of need to get yourself some strategies in place so that you can find a way to safely make these movements. And I would, some of you know, I just got a puppy. It reminds me of this. So with dog training, it is exactly the same thing, right? You start very, very, you start with really, really small things, right? You just start by teaching them their name, right? And rewarding them every time that that they listen to the name. And then it might be, well, actually, now you can come towards me. So it's taking it kind of step by step. And that's exactly how you want to do this type of thing as well. So start with something easy that you can pick up from the floor. Have a strategy. And then you can start to think about, can I lift something heavier off the ground? All the way up to, can I lift a kettlebell, right? And if you go to the gym, it's a very, very common exercise. I always thought, what's the point of this? This just really isn't something that is enjoyable or what I want to do. But, oh my God, am I happy that I practiced this? Because when you can pick up a kettlebell safely, you can pick up something heavy from the floor as well. Good. Tobias is saying he's got a question. So yes, feel free. That's what I'm here for. So feel free to ask your questions while I'm going through this. So using your legs, keeping once you've picked something up, keep it close to your body. And this is especially if you then want to bring it back down to the floor. How can you keep it close, bend your knees, and then bring it down to the floor? Good. So I'm hoping that this is covering it for the lifting. Now, the other thing I wrote down is lifting a child, right? Because this might not be so easy. And there might be some of you've got small children, grandchildren that you pick them up from the floor and you carry them over on one hip. Yes, so tell me if that sounds familiar to you. Now, obviously, what can you do? You cannot hold your child out here in front all the time. That is just not practical. If it is a baby, and that's what I did with my children, I did have a sling around me. My son was permanently attached to me, basically, first at the front, and then as he got heavier, I had like a little backpack for him. So he was on my back when I had to carry him. So that's just something to get around with this, because otherwise, again, if you carry your child on your hip all the time, for me, this was on my left hip, and then I was doing things on my right side. You can see, you know, there's already kind of a twist and a rotation. And if you're doing this for long periods of time, then that is going to hurt. Right? It's not going to be good for your back. Good. So foot exercises, you're going to have to narrow this down a little bit. And we do like to work with the legs and the feet. It's really, really important for stability. Pam is saying that does make sense. I started having back pain after injuring my right knee. I have valgus knees, which makes it difficult to use my legs. Yes, so even more important, if you've got a, so this is your weakness, your knees are your weakness. If you have something there, right, something else is going to compensate, right? So you injured your knee, then your body is very clever and saying, well, that knee is not working. Or both knees are not working, or you're saying your right knee is not working. Either your left knee is going to have to work a little bit more, or maybe it's somewhere else in the body that has to compensate. Now, if you've got basically knees that are going in towards each other or going away from each other, you are missing some of this alignment, or there's less alignment. So really important to make sure that you strengthen your joints. And that doesn't just mean your knee, it also means your hips, right? So don't forget, and your feet, actually, feet and ankles as well. So it is like a little chain reaction that is going off in the body. So it is really important to look at it as a whole. Good. Good to set up the expectation of mastering something easy before moving to something harder. Yes, absolutely. It's much this is why we take it right back in our practice as well. We take it right back to basics, and then we can start to make this a little bit harder. Once we get kind of the concept, and once we know what are the adjustments that we have to do, how do we adjust for our scoliosis and specific pattern, then we can start to make this a little bit more difficult as well. Good. So what about carrying a pocketbook, one shoulder or cross body, and on which side? Better left lumbar, right thoracic. Okay, great. So you're leading me into the next thing. Pam is agreeing with that. Yes, I like that. Okay, so let's talk about carrying. Let's move my chair out of the way. So I've got a bag here. This is kind of the typical shopping bag, right? This is probably how I would kind of carry it. I would probably even think about carrying on it on this side. That's actually more comfortable because I'm right-handed. This is feels a little bit stronger. But what does this do? So first of all, to keep my bag here, you can see I'm rolling my shoulder forwards, right? This is going into my right thoracic left lumbar pattern. Don't particularly like it. So maybe I move it over to the left side. Now, what it does on this side now, I'm adding, depending on how heavy this is, depending on how big my curvature is, it might take me further into my thoracic curvature, right? So if I let this back, especially if I get tired and I let it pull me down, it's going to take me further into this pattern. So basically, whichever side you do, it is an asymmetry. It's an asymmetry on top of an asymmetry. Now, what I do like talking about something like this, I like to, you're not going to walk like this, but symmetrical. I'm holding it in towards me, holding it close to me. I can lengthen through the crown of the head. I'm actually, this is good because this is heavy. I do actually have some eye pillows in there, which weigh quite a bit. So this can be part of my practice, right? This is part of my stability practice to, can I lengthen up from the crown of the head? I can also challenge myself bringing this into one hand, but notice I'm not collapsing. I'm not going the other way either. This would be a compensation. Can I be in a neutral position? Can I lengthen up, engage my core, and maintain this? Same thing over on the other side. This is harder for me on this side to maintain. So it's something maybe I need to work on a little bit more. But basically, to answer your question, over the shoulder, I don't like it. If you're holding it like this, if you're doing it mindfully, it doesn't really matter what side you're going to do. Now I'm going to show you my handbag, and that's probably what you meant. So this is my handbag, not super fashionable, but it's going across the body. It's spreading the load. Yes, okay, it's over my right shoulder and over here. It's not super heavy. I'm not holding it here. This is kind of the worst thing to do, to hold your handbag. But I can be really nice and tall and can be in this neutral position, and I've got my hands free. So I like this type of bag. Backpack, obviously, same thing. If you're so that your weight is evenly distributed. Knocking things over. Good. So what about sleeping? Which opposite or defect of our exercises? So sleeping, we're not going to talk about sleeping today. This is a big topic. There's a whole lot of videos on this channel about sleeping. So make sure you check out some of those playlists that I've got. And if somebody... Laura, for example, if you're able to drop a link, that would be great. But you'll find it on my page for sure. I've talked about sleeping lots and lots of times. Backpack, yes, just mentioned this. That's a great option. Okay, so are we happy about carrying things? Now, the other thing I like to mention is, can you give yourself as much support as you can? So what does that mean? If you know you're going to be moving a lot of things around, if you're moving house, for example, could you maybe wear a back brace just for that day? Right. If you know you're going to suffer, if you don't, then make sure you give yourself support. The other thing is, if you're going shopping, right, do you have to carry the little basket in the grocery store, or can you use a trolley? Even if you only have a handful of things to take, use a trolley, right? So give yourself as much support as possible. When you are, little tip, top tip here, when you are using your trolley and your thumbs are down and you're holding onto it like that, so imagine I'm holding onto it, looks like a dinosaur right now, watch what happens to my right shoulder, right? I'm going into my thoracic curve. I'll have that winging shoulder blade here. So not great. So what I can do here is a very, very simple thing. If I bring my thumb on top of the bar, look at my shoulder, it's already going, it's going down, back and in, and especially if I try a little bit harder, that's what I would do. So this is kind of, I actually have an asymmetric hand position when I do this. Usually I tell people, if in doubt, just put both thumbs on top because it's going to bring your shoulders back and down. But because my left shoulder already does this with my thoracic pattern, I actually like for it to be rotated down a little bit. So little tip for the shopping trolley. And yes, so a lot of you are saying you like to use the shopping trolley. It might have been an obvious one, right? Don't make it hard for yourself, right? Just make it easy for yourself, even if it's just, sometimes we're a little bit like, oh, you know, it's just a few things. I don't need that trolley. But it is worth it, right? It does make a difference. Good. So what else? So housework, obviously, there's a lot of kind of picking up, carrying things to do. So if anybody has got any examples or things that they are struggling with, then feel free to let me know. One of those things is the Hoover. I don't know if anybody else finds this. I always find this, or mopping the floor, I sometimes find this a little bit tricky. So one of those things that you can do is obviously making sure that all the handles and everything is long enough so that you're not bending forwards. And again, sometimes we don't think about this, but just hoovering movement is a load, right? You're pushing something forwards and backwards. Possibly you're rounding. And possibly you're not just hoovering forwards and backwards. You might also be going to the side and the side, this side and that side. So there is a lot going on. So sometimes we are worried about, get really caught up with, oh, I cannot do any twists in my yoga class. Well, what about those things? How, even if you're not doing anything twisting in your yoga class, and you should be, you should practice these movements. But what about the rest of the day? You are most likely you're going to be doing something over to one side or the other. So why not practice this in your movement practice sensibly with alignment? And then it just becomes second nature when you're doing this in your housework as well or in your day-to-day life. Good. Sitting on a chair for long periods of time. Yes, always. That is absolutely. That kind of contributes. So imagine you've been sitting all day in the office. Then something drops on the floor. So you're already kind of, your back is already upset. Then you're going to just kind of pick it up from there, bringing it up. And you're like, oh, my back hurts. So very much a combination that is not great, doesn't go very well together. Good. And again, sitting, we do have a lot of videos on this channel here as well about, but just very briefly, obviously, crossing legs, is it advisable? If you cross your legs, it tells me that you're lacking stability. So crossing the legs is basically your way of creating a little bit more stability. And that's not wrong. That's a good strategy to have. However, if you always cross one leg over the other and it's always the same side, there's going to be a tilt of the pelvis and a rotation of the pelvis. So again, it's something asymmetric. And then if you're then rounding your lower back, you're also loading the spine. So it kind of goes hand in hand with what I said about picking things up from the floor. Try to avoid it if you can. I've got a video on this channel where I'm going through a nice support using a belt. Let me know if somebody can find this. The thing is, I cannot go into my YouTube channel because you will hear me double, basically. But I'll see if I can drop it afterwards into the chat, into the comments, if you want. Let me know if you want me to do that, and I'll make a note of it. So you could change the cross off your legs, obviously. That's one thing to do. Or you just simply train yourself not to cross your legs. Okay, Cynthia's saying, I had a physical therapist tell me to stop crossing my right over the left since I have a left lumbar curve. Yeah, and I know why, right? Because if you bring your right leg over the left, you're hiking that right hip up. However, you're also going into the against the rotation in a different way. So there's not just this kind of tilted, but there's also a rotation that way. And when you have a left lumbar curve, your right hip will be slightly further back. So actually bringing the right leg over the left would in a way derotate a little bit when you're going that way. So, you know, it depends. It really depends. If you have been doing this for long periods of time and you've always crossed your right leg over the left, you probably added to an imbalance that was already there. In which case I would agree with that, and I would say yes, maybe stop doing that. But it's not as simple to say, oh, I have a left lumbar curve, so I need to cross my right leg over the left. It kind of depends what's going on in your pelvis. Good. So Cynthia's saying interesting. It is interesting, and you know, there's hours and hours of things that you can, and I've done kind of a deep dive into the psoas muscle myself, doing some research on that, and it's complicated, right? There's a lot of pieces of the puzzle. There's so many compensations. It's not just right to left. It's a three-dimensional condition, so it also depends what's going on the front and the back. And where your curve is it higher up, is it lower down, right? Good. Samira is saying I'm RTLL and crossing left over right. Left over right is my, if I tie it, that's what I do. So I try to bring the right leg over the left, or not doing it at all. That's really the best thing to do. Good. Lovely. So what else? Making sure, obviously, you take breaks. That's obviously a no-brainer. But I think what it comes back to is that you can use your movement practice, because I think those of you who are here, you probably enjoy movement. I don't know. I do, right? For me, movement makes me feel good, right? I do enjoy it. But I also want to make sure that the movements that I practice and the exercises that I do are effective, and that they are helping me in some way. And how they can help me is preparing me for other things. So like I did before, when we're taking it right back to basics, use your movement practice to practice, it is a practice, things that are coming up in your day-to-day life and that you need to do. You can use it to become stronger, to do a certain task. If you like golf, for example, you need to be able to, there's a lot of rotation going on there. You need to rebalance yourself. So if you're always doing one movement, you can use your movement practice to help you rebalance yourself, but you can also help to strengthen you, to support yourself with these movements. So when somebody was talking about the knee injury, for example, now you need your knees, right? We don't want you to be in a wheelchair. We want you to be able to walk around and make all these movements. But that means you need to build up your strength to be able to support the movements that you're doing after your injury, obviously. So building it up slowly and then thinking about all the things that you need at the moment. Good. Sandy's saying, I have a 5-pound limit on lifting. And when I tried to strength my right bicep shoulder from a right thoracic, I get in trouble every time. I have to move a lot or I freeze up. Yeah. And that's great that you know. I love that Sandy knows 5 pounds is her limit, right? That is really, really important to know. If she goes above, it is too much. And I would argue you can probably build this up if you wanted to. Is that necessary? That's obviously up to you. It might not be necessary. But it's good to know where your limit is. Good. And freezing up, it's basically your body's way of saying, sorry, not doing that. That was too much. It's threatening. You remember, maybe some of you remember, I talk about kind of how pain is created in the body, and it is a signal from the brain that something is threatening. So when your muscles are freezing up, it's basically your brain is saying, we're not doing that. This is not good. There's something dangerous that can happen. And objectively, that might not be the case, to be fair, but your brain doesn't know that in the moment. So it's going to freeze up. So that's why you need to start to build it up slowly. And then you will be able to get there. So don't give yourself this limit forever, but for right now. Good. So I'm hoping that this kind of covers things from a lifting and carrying housework perspective. So just to summarize, obviously, make sure that you notice what your habits are. I want everybody to notice how they carry a bag, handbag. What do you do in terms of shopping? Maybe check your shopping trolley next time you go shopping. Where are your thumbs? Are they on top? Are they below? What's happening in your shoulders? What are these movements that you do over and over again? And obviously, Samira was saying about sitting, which is not our topic today, but what about a mouse, right? What about this type of movement? Now, you know, I could be doing that quite a few times. I mean, we don't really use our keyboard that much nowadays, but it's mainly using the mouse. And you can look at my shoulder when I use the mouse. I'm going into my right thoracic curve here. So I have to make sure I have that mouse really, really closely in towards me. And actually, when I had a proper desk job, 9 to 5, I had a L-shaped desk and I had my mouse on the right side here next to me, not in front of me. You can see what's happening there. Much better position for my shoulder. Good. So those of you who've got S-curve scoliosis, if you are in a membership, in my membership, you've got an S-curve workshop coming up. It's a live workshop, 2 hours with me on the 21st of May. If you are not a member, you can obviously join the membership to join this, or you can sign up for the workshop separately as well. And actually, it's much more than a workshop. You get kind of practices for S-curve scoliosis as well. It's a whole course which is called S-curve Essentials. So again, I'm going to make a note just to make sure we link to that, because I know a few of you have already said there, RTLL, right thoracic, left lumbar. So you might want to join us for that. Good. Any tips on the curve intersection? So we're talking about S-curve. Where's the S-curve? The right thoracic changing into a left lumbar. Very important. I'm not young anymore. Surgery is not an option. I do right shoulder thing all the time. Makes it so sore. Good. Oh, sorry. That might not have been related. Okay. So yes. So this part of the S-curve, that section where the curve changes direction, can be quite a vulnerable place, right? So it is something kind of to pay attention to, and making sure that we have got some strategies in place to reset that pattern, making sure which curve might be taking over, which is the bigger curve. Is it the thoracic? Is it the lumbar? And then making sure we are creating space in that area. So all of that we are going to cover in our S-curve Essentials workshop. So 21st of May, I will drop the link in the comments after this. But it was really nice to chat to you all. I hope that you got some value from this. And let me know if there is anything else. If we could have a session about office setups, if that is something you guys are interested in, feel free to let me know. Good. So I'm going to leave you here. Thank you so much for watching, and I'll hope to see you very soon. Thanks, everyone.
I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, I would be super grateful if you could leave me a 5-star rating and review, which will help me to create lots more amazing content. If you have any questions or suggestions, reach out to me on Instagram at yogaberry.scoliosis or visit my website at www.yogaberry.net.